जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी
यमुना तीरावन चारी
यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मई की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण चंद्र की जय। श्री श्री लक्ष्मी नरसिंह अनंत देव श्री प्रहलाद महाराज की जय। श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री शालग्राम देव की जय। श्री गिरिराज की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। मुकं करोति वाचालम् पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम्। आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम्। रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता। श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान्। श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादर न परः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनगंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे आई वांट टू डिस्कस इन सम डिटेल a pastime that is very popular amongst the devotees. Even children are very familiar with this story and they enact it in the form of a drama at many festivals. And you might wonder why I might want to discuss a pastime which everybody has anyway heard. The reason is, number one, Krishna's pastimes are nitya nava navayamana. They are ever fresh, ever pleasing to the heart and the mind. And therefore it is always enlivening, purifying, enriching to hear these wonderful pastimes again and again. And that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. He heard the story of Prahlad from the Srimad Bhagavatam 108 times repeatedly. One after the other. He heard the story of Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj also similarly, repeatedly, again and again. And every time he heard it, he relished it. So Krishna's pastimes are like that. So that is the first reason. The second reason is that even though we have all heard the pastime, but we have generally heard just the main storyline. There are many finer points in the story, in the pastime, which are very instructive. Not only in the text itself, but also in the purports of Srila Prabhupada, where he brings up some very interesting observations. Please switch off your mobile phones, it's very important. And you should not speak on the phone in the temple hall like that. Please switch off your phones. This discipline must be a as much a part of your habit as it is when you remove shoes outside before coming in. It should become that much natural to you that as soon as you're coming, stepping in the temple, just as you will remove the shoes, you will either keep your mobile phone back in the house or you please keep it switched off. It is actually an aparadh against the deity, against the katha of the Lord, when these disturbances come up and people start talking on the phone or sending SMS when the lecture is going on. So please do be careful about that. So coming back to the point that even though we are all familiar with this main storyline, there are many finer points in the past times which perhaps we may not have heard or we may have forgotten, and which are very instructive for all of us, and they sweeten this pastime even more. They make it even more relishable, along with the nice lessons that we learn, devotional lessons that we learn from them. Have you guessed which story or which pastime I'm going to discuss? Jagai Madhai? No. It is a story of Sakshi Gopal. How many of you have not heard the story of Sakshi Gopal so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay. It's a very famous story. How many of you have been to Jagannath Puri? Yes. And have you been to Katak and seen the Sakshi Gopal temple? So you must have heard the story of Sakshi Gopal during that time, I'm sure. Now this story and stories similar to this are real life stories. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished the narration of these pastimes. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in a place called Katwa, he wanted to immediately go to Vrindavan. But his mother requested him to not go to Vrindavan. She said, please go to Jagannath Puri, because Jagannath Puri is also like another room in the same house as Navadvip. The devotees from here will be able to go easily to see you in Puri. You can also come sometimes, and I will also be pacified and consoled knowing that after taking sannyas, you are not far away from me. Vrindavan is very far away. So out of deference to the wishes of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to make his residence in Sri Jagannath Puri. Soon thereafter, he went on a long pilgrimage of many holy places, as we all know. But from Katwa, he began his journey towards Jagannath Puri. He was accompanied by many of his associates, including Sri Nityananda Prabhu. They first came after traveling. When they entered into the land of Orissa, they came to Remuna. In Remuna, they heard the story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the story of Kheer Chora Gopinath. How many of you have heard this story before? Of Kheer Chora Gopinath. Another very famous story, as famous as the Sakshi Gopal story amongst the devotees of Krishna. So at Remuna they had darshan of Kheer Chora Gopinath. This pastime pertained to the great sage Madhavendra Puri, who was the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been told this pastime by none other than his own spiritual master, Srila Ishwar Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now narrated this story to all the devotees. And then they went on towards Jagannath Puri. They came to a temple of Varahadev. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had darshan there. He engaged in chanting and dancing very nicely. And then they moved on. As they moved on, Then gradually they came to a place near Katak. And there they wanted to see the temple of Sakshi Gopal. They all came there. And they were astonished and very happy to see the beauty of the deity of Gopal. You see, this is real beauty. The beauty of this world is not beauty at all. It is merely the reflection of real beauty. So then, all the devotees felt extreme pleasure in seeing this deity. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his devotees, chanted and danced in kirtan for a long time in great happiness. That night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees stayed in the temple of Gopal, and they heard the narration of the witness Gopal, Sakshi Gopal, from Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu previously, as a young boy, had accompanied a sannyasi whose name is not known, who had visited the house of his father, Hadai Pandit, and had requested him to allow his 12-year-old son to accompany him as an assistant. Because when a sannyasi moves, he should have a brahmachari assistant. That is the custom or an etiquette. So with a very heavy heart, Hadai Pandit had released Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu had traveled with this sannyasi, and he had also then gone to many, many holy places. In the course of his Tirtha Yatra, he had also come to Katak in Orissa. And he had come and taken darshan of Lord Sakshi Gopal, and he had heard the pastime over there. So now Nityananda Prabhu, with great eagerness and happiness, began to narrate this pastime to all the devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the other devotees were very eagerly looking forward to the story. They were all relishing the prospect of hearing these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. For the devotees, the pastimes of the Lord are so relishable that they look forward to it just like a materialist looks forward to some opportunity for sense gratification or some material excitement. So for devotees, this is the excitement. Oh, I'm going to a festival of Krishna. I'm going to hear pastimes of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, I'm going to visit Jagannath Puri. So this is transcendental excitement for a devotee. And there is no greater joy for a devotee than this. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantas parasparam kathayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So this is the definition of devotee that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, that the devotees like to gather together and hear and chant the glories of the Lord amongst themselves. This is what gives them great satisfaction and joy. They are not interested in all sorts of mundane topics and mundane affairs. You need to raise the volume. So anyway, Nityananda Prabhu began his narration. There was a town called Vidyanagar in South India, in the Andhra region. Technically, whether it is now in Telangana or Andhra Pradesh, I cannot say, but it was in that region. It was at the bank of the Godavari, where the Godavari meets the sea, called Kotadesh. So I presume it is in Andhra Pradesh. Correct? Coastal is Andhra and rest is Telangana. Okay. So anyway, so there were two Brahmins who lived in Vidyanagar. One was from an aristocratic family, a very learned family, a very wealthy family, Brahmin family. And he was quite elderly. And there was another Brahmin who was also in the town amongst all the others. He was young, but he was not from an aristocratic family. He was not so highly learned in the scriptures. He was also quite poor. But somehow these two Brahmanas, young and old, became very good friends. And because they were both pure devotees of Krishna, they got along very well. One time, the old Brahmin wanted to go on a pilgrimage to all the holy places in India because he felt, now I am an old man, I do not know how long I will live. So long as I am here, my body is able to move and walk, I want to go and visit some pastime places of the Lord and pilgrimage sites. But he was wondering, how will I go alone at this age? I will not be able to manage my affairs. The young Brahmin was only too keen to help. And he said, don't worry, I will come with you. I will accompany you and escort you to all the different places of pilgrimage. So with great happiness, the older Brahmin accepted this proposal. And then they started moving. In those days, as you know, there were no trains and aeroplanes and cars, so they had to walk. This was the austerity. This is actually how Tirtha Yatra was done. And this is the spirit in which it should be done. So today, of course, there are many conveniences. What took months and months of travel can today be done in a matter of hours. And today we have all sorts of conveniences available, air-conditioned rooms and guest houses, all sorts of delicious foodstuffs available everywhere, just like in the big cities. And cars, even cars are air-conditioned. So the whole spirit of the Tirtha Yatra is not fully accomplished because we try to carry forward the luxuries of the city into the holy place. But it is important for us that we should take on voluntarily some inconvenience when we have to go to a holy place. So when we go in a group of devotees, there will be some inconvenience. You're sharing the room with other people, and then you have to come at a certain time. So there's lots of things. Anyway, so they had to walk. So they were walking, walking, walking. They went to many holy places. Then they reached Gaya. From Gaya, they came to Kashi, Banara, up to Prayag. Eventually, they reached Mathura and then came to Vrindavan. So at the place where today there stands the famous temple of Govindadev, there used to be, at that time, a temple of Lord Gopal. The deity of Gopal was very beautiful. So naturally, the young and the old Brahmana, they went there. The beauty of the Gopal deity stole their minds. And feeling great happiness, they remained there for 2 or 3 days, not willing to leave from there, because they were becoming so attracted and attached to this beautiful form of the Lord. And the old man was thinking, how fortunate I am. Even in this old age, I am able to make a pilgrimage like this, and I have come here to the holy land of Vrindavan, and I am taking darshan of this extraordinarily beautiful deity of Gopal. I don't know, I cannot judge my great fortune. And this young Brahmana, oh, he has helped me like my son would not do. So he, in front of Gopal, as they sat, they came outside the temple, and the Brahmana, older Brahmana's heart was overflowing with feelings of joy and at the same time gratitude as well to the young Brahmin. So the old Brahmin told the young Brahmin, you have rendered a variety of services to me. You have assisted me in traveling to so many holy places. Even my own son would not have done what you have done to me. Actually, by your mercy, I did not even become fatigued on the tour. You have taken such good care of me in every respect that I did not even in the slightest feel any inconvenience or tiredness. And therefore, in the circumstances, if I did not show any respect or gratitude to you, that would be very, very unbecoming of me. It would be very unfair. As a Brahmana, I must show my gratitude. Therefore, today, being overwhelmed with gratitude, I want to make a promise to you. I want to hand over my daughter in marriage to you. Now, when the young Brahmana heard this proposal, he said, asambhava. He said, that is not possible. My dear Brahmana, please hear me out carefully. In the enthusiasm of this, the joy of seeing Gopal and being on the pilgrimage and being in Vrindavan, you are gushing with gratitude and you are making this statement, but be cautious. This kind of match that you are proposing between your daughter and me can never happen. Why can it not happen? Because you are Mahakulin. You come from a very aristocratic family. Vidya Dhan Adi Praveen. You are very learned. You have a lot of money. And as far as I am concerned, Ami Akulina Dhan Vidya Heena. I am not from an aristocratic family. I am from a very ordinary family. Neither do I have high learning, nor do I have any wealth. So it is completely a mismatch, an incompatible match for marriage. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport the social situation in India in those days and even to some degree today, to a very large degree even today. He said that marriages would take place amongst families that were somewhat on an equal level in terms of social status, high birth, learning, and economic status and so on. Very rarely would you find somebody from a very rich family getting married to somebody from a very poor family. Generally, these things don't happen. So, knowing this, the young Brahmana was saying, no, this is not possible. He did not believe that it was possible that such a marriage could happen, despite the old Brahmana making such a promise. He said, sir, I am not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter. And then he made a very important statement. He said, I am rendering service to you only for the satisfaction of Krishna. In other words, this young Brahmana did not have any material expectation from the older Brahmana. For example, he did not think, I am poor, he is old, and because I am serving him, out of gratitude, he will give me a lot of money, a lot of dakshina I will get, and then I will be happy. He was not thinking at all like that. Both the Brahmanas are actually very pure-hearted. So now the younger Brahmana makes it clear, lest there be any misconception in the minds of the older Brahmana. Just in case the older Brahmana was thinking that the younger Brahmana had rendered this service with some material expectation, he wanted to set the picture clear. He clarified. He said, please know that I have done this only for the satisfaction of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport here that both Brahmanas were pure Vaishnavas. And Krishna has explained, Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. It is a very famous statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna explains that actually if you want to make me happy, you should render service to my devotee. That is more important than rendering service to me. I am extremely pleased when you serve my devotees. So service to the Vaishnavas is an extremely exalted thing that pleases Krishna very easily. So if you want to have a shortcut path to pleasing Krishna, this is what we need to do. Serve the Vaishnavas, but not with a duplicitous mentality. With a very simple heart, a very innocent heart, a very eager heart, a devoted heart, with faith and eagerness. When we do that, then Krishna is pleased. So this is a very important principle in Vaishnava theology and philosophy. There is no way we can please Krishna or attain Krishna if we are displeasing the Vaishnavas. So then the young Brahmana continued. He said, Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to Brahmanas, to devotees. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotion increases. In other words, he was emphasizing that there is nothing more important than pleasing Sri Krishna. Even as devotees, when Krishna is pleased, our devotion becomes nourished. We receive the unlimited blessings and the mercy of Lord Krishna, which strengthens our devotion, nurtures and nourishes our faith and gives us very high taste in serving the Supreme Lord. So it is not only a matter of worldly dealings, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport. Because when the Vaishnava is rendered service, then because the devotees are so dear to Krishna, so Krishna becomes very pleased. This is a simple principle. Now, Prabhupada also mentions here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have liked to hear about any ordinary dealings between two people. So many people have such dealings where they serve each other and they enter into some kind of agreement about marriage between their two families. Why would a sannyasi like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was so strict in his sannyas principles, like to hear about conversations and dealings between two people about marriage and about one serving the other, unless it had a very deep transcendental significance? So Prabhupada says that because these two brahmanas were great Vaishnavas, therefore their dealings also were not ordinary material dealings. And as the story unfolds, we will see how this is so. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening with great eagerness. And Srila Prabhupada says that normal marriages take place according to the Karmakanda system. As you all know, there are three parts to the Vedas. There is the Karmakanda, there is the Jnanakanda, and there is the Upasanakanda. The Karmakanda section of the Vedas is especially meant for those people who have a materialistic bent of mind and they want to serve God with some material expectation. When I serve God, I will get some money, I will get some relief from distress, and so on. And there are injunctions in these in these scriptures to worship the various demigods, the devatas, and who then very quickly give worldly benefits to their worshippers. Kankshantaha karmanam siddhim. You remember this verse? I spoke about it yesterday. What was the verse? Who remembers? Kankshantaha karmanam siddhim yajanti iha devata kshipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Where Krishna says that people worship the devatas in this world because they get quick results from the devatas for their material expectations. And sometimes people also think in terms of which deity is more powerful to fulfill my desires, which temple, which tirtha. But this is not real bhakti, this is not real devotion at all. So anyway, Karmakanda is one. Jnanakanda is for those who are on the path of Jnana Yoga, who want to merge into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and who basically deny the personality of God. The devotees are not interested either in Jnanakanda or in Karmakanda. They are interested in Upasanakanda. Upasanakanda refers to the Bhakti Shastras, those scriptures that basically highlight and emphasize that pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is actually the ultimate goal and perfection and the very purpose of all dharma and of the Vedas. So as devotees, we are not interested in these other two khandas. General marriage that is performed in the outside world is as per the Karma Khanda. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that in the early days of ISKCON, when he went to America, he was preaching to boys and girls who were coming from completely uncultured backgrounds. And they had a lot of bad habits. And after associating with Srila Prabhupada, they got rid of their bad habits. Many of these boys and girls in the 1960s were living together without getting married. There it was something normal. They were rebelling against their society. And Prabhupada said, no, you cannot do this. You have to get married if you want to live together. Be a properly married husband and wife. And then, because the devotees were so new, and there were no brahmanas, no devotees available to who knew all the vidhis, all the rules and regulations of performing a fire sacrifice and a marriage ceremony, he himself had to do these marriage ceremonies for his disciples. He performed the yajna. Generally, a sannyasi is not supposed to perform a yajna. What to speak of? A fire yajna for a wedding, for a marriage. But what to do? The circumstances were such. So he explains in the purport that he received a lot of criticism from many very conservative elements back in India. That the Bhaktivedanta Swami, he is actually doing things that are not authorized. He's a sannyasi. Why is he getting himself involved in karmakandi or in marriage processes? So Prabhupada explains that the marriage that we supervised and oversaw was not karmakanda marriage. This was for the sake of preaching on, pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our supervision was because it was an emergency. Apath dharma, sometimes you have to do these emergency things to push ahead the process of Krishna consciousness everywhere. So similarly, he says, this kind of marriage proposal and dealings between these two brahmanas may superficially appear to have been just ordinary worldly dealings. But the fact that Nityananda Prabhu was narrating it and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees were hearing it with so much relish indicates that it was completely transcendental. So anyway, the older Brahmana reassured the younger Brahmana. He said, my dear boy, do not doubt me. I will give my daughter to you. I have decided this. But the younger Brahmana, even though he was young, he was also worldly wise. So he still had a doubt. He was not convinced by this one assurance of the older Brahmana. The young Brahmana said, my dear sir, you have a wife, you have a children, and you have an extended family, a social circle of many people, of relatives, friends who are very influential. And without the consent of your friends and relatives, you will not be able to give your daughter to me in marriage. And then he gave an example. Just consider the story of Queen Rukmini and her father Bhishmaka. Some days ago was the appearance day of Queen Rukmini. And in Lakshmi Narasimha temple, we discussed the pastimes of Rukmini Devi. So what happened? Rukmini Devi wanted to marry Krishna. King Bhishmaka was also a devotee and admirer of Krishna. And he was happy to marry his daughter to Krishna. But Bhishmaka's son, Rukmi, the eldest son, was completely opposed to this idea. He did not like Krishna at all, because his association was demoniac. Who were his friends and associates? Shishupal, Shalva, Dantavakra, Jarasandha, who were opposed to Lord Krishna. They were very demoniac people. Therefore, in the association of such demoniac people, Rukmi's mind also became like that. So when he heard that King Bhishmak was proposing that Rukmini should marry Krishna, he was enraged. He said, no, I will never allow this to happen. So in order to prevent some kind of a major problem within the family, King Bhishmaka relented. Rukmi wanted to marry Rukmini to Shishupal, his close friend. So despite Bhishmaka being the king, being the father of Rukmini, despite him wanting to marry Rukmini Devi to Sri Krishna, he could not do it. So, the young Brahmana is reminding the older Brahmana, you are making a grand promise very courageously, but look, you have a big family. What to speak of you? Even King Bhishma could not do that without the permission of his family. So please be cautious. I don't think this proposal will ever happen, that it will work out. But the elderly Brahmana was adamant. He said, this girl is my daughter. If I choose to give my daughter to somebody in marriage, who has the power to stop me? I will do it. My dear boy, I will give my daughter in marriage to you, and I will neglect whatever other opinions other people may have. Don't doubt me. Please, simply accept my proposal. Because as of till now, the boy had not accepted the proposal. It was only a proposal that came from the elder Brahmana. So then he was still not convinced, the younger Brahmana. So he said, okay, if you are really determined to make this proposal, then I suggest you should come in front of the deity of Gopal and you should make this promise in front of him. Because he wanted to make sure that this Brahmana would not go back on his word. You know, what happens is sometimes at the spur of the moment, in the heat of the moment, in the excitement of the moment, we say things. It happens many times in when devotees promise donations to the temple. I will give this much. They come and they go back home and the wife says, what did you say? And then he says, says, what did I do? I should have consulted my wife before promising this much donation to the temple. So anyway, so the Brahmana, the younger Brahmana, as I said, was worldly wise. So he knew the ways of this world. So he wanted to make sure that this Brahmana would promise in front of the deity so that he would take it really seriously. And because he was a devout Brahman, very pious, a great devotee, he would not break his promise, especially when he had made it in front of the deity. Now, it is not that the younger Brahmana was eager to marry the daughter of that Brahmana. But he said this in order to protect the dharma of the older Brahmana. So then the elder Brahmana agreed. So they both went inside the temple. They came in front of the deity of Lord Gopal. And the older Brahmana said, my dear Lord, please witness that I have given my daughter in marriage to this boy. So now the Lord was a witness to this promise, correct? So Prabhupada says in the purport that in India it is still the custom for a daughter to be handed over in marriage to somebody else just on a verbal promise. It's called Vagdatta. Vagdatta means that some father or mother will say, even the girl is very small. She may be 5 years old, 4 years old. And he will promise to the parents of a boy who is also very young. And he will say, when they both grow up, you know, I will give my daughter in marriage to your son. So that is taken very seriously. Of course, nowadays things are changing, but in the early days, this was very common. And then both parties, both families agree till the children grow up to be of marriageable age. And then the marriage takes place. So it was considered very sacred. And Srila Prabhupada also gives an interesting comment here. That in Indian villages, whenever there is a quarrel between two parties, they go to a temple to settle the quarrel. They come in front of the Lord and they discuss. Because whatever is spoken in front of the deity must be true. Because nobody will lie in front of the deity. So if they come and make an agreement and sit in front of the Lord, then there are chances that the agreement will work. Of course, this doesn't hold true these days. Wherever you take them, in any place, you have all sorts of ironclad guarantees, but still people will break their promise. The word doesn't carry that weight. Even written documents don't carry weight nowadays. But anyway, sometimes in the villages today, even this happens. So Prabhupada says, no one would dare to lie before the deity. And then he says, if people become actually Krishna conscious, all quarrels can be settled outside the court, as happened in the case between the two Brahmanas, whose disagreement was settled by the witness Gopal. So if we are actually Krishna conscious, why will we go and fight everywhere? We will settle it. Come in front of Krishna and say, yes, come on, let us talk it over and see. So the younger Brahmana was still not satisfied. Now he was satisfied that the older Brahmana had done his part. He had done whatever he was supposed to do. But now the younger Brahmana wanted to hold Krishna, the deity of Gopal, to his word. So he went in front of Gopal and he said, "My dear Lord, you are my witness. I shall call for you to testify if it is necessary later on." So he was warning the Lord, "You are a witness, remember. Now if there is a need, I'll come to you. At that time you shouldn't say, 'No, no, no, I won't come.' Then you must come." So he is making sure, ironclad guarantee, he's making sure the old Brahman has made the promise in front of the deity. He's telling the deity also, "Look, you have witnessed to this. If I need you, you must be willing to come." So then after these talks, the two Brahmanas headed for home. After a long journey, they reached, as usual, the young Brahmana served the older Brahmana very nicely, and the two reached their respective homes in Vidyanagar. After some time, the elder Brahmana became a little anxious. "Time is passing, and I have not had the courage to bring up this topic of giving my daughter in marriage to that young Brahmana." Now he was developing cold feet. So the Brahmana's, young Brahmana's assessment was right. In the heat of the moment, he said, "Yes, I'll give my daughter to you." But now after coming home, he's thinking, "Oh my God, how will my family agree to this?" And he was not having the courage to bring up this matter with his family. Finally, he picked up the courage and he called an Ishtagoshti, he called a family meeting. And the sons and the wife and everyone came along. And then he narrated what had happened in Vrindavan in front of Gopal. Immediately, there was a hue and cry in the family. And they made exclamations showing their disappointment. And they all requested, "Please, Father, don't ever make such a proposal again." They all unanimously agreed that if you ever make such a proposal, what will happen to our social prestige? We will lose our aristocracy. People will make jokes of you. They will make fun of you. They will crack jokes at you because you have even proposed such an incompatible match. Then the older Brahmana said, "But see, I have already made this promise and I have made it in the holy land of Vrindavan and in front of the deity of Gopal. So whatever may happen, I will give my daughter in marriage to this young Brahmana." But the family was not about to give in. So his wife and his sons, they all said, "If you ever do such a thing, we will give up all connection with you. And not only that, we will take poison and die." Sounds familiar? Sometimes these things happen in the family. When there is a quarrel, then these things may happen. I have heard, not experienced. "If you don't do this, I will take poison and die." So when he heard this, the Brahmana got shaken up. So, "My God, I don't want my family members to die like this." So he was really in a quandary. "What should I do now? I'm really stuck." On one hand, he was saying, "If I do not give my daughter to the young Brahmana, he will call Gopal as a witness. Thus, he will take my daughter by force. And in this case, my religious principles will become meaningless. My dharma will be broken." So the son, the eldest son, who was atheistic by nature, not at all like his father, he said, "The deity is a witness, right? He may be a witness." So the atheistic son didn't have any faith that the deity was Krishna. He was saying, "Deity is just a piece of stone, just a statue. What good is the deity being a witness?" And second of all, he said, "Anyway, the deity is in far away, Vrindavan, hundreds and thousands of miles away. How will he come here and give witness? That is not possible." So then he became very diplomatic and he told his father, he said, "My dear father, if the matter comes up, you don't have to deny it. You just say, 'I don't remember.' In that way, you will not be implicated in some sin of telling a lie. So the older Brahmana was thinking, what should I do? The younger son said, don't worry. Simply say, I do not remember and I will take care of the rest. So the poor older Brahmana was now, as they say, caught between the devil and the hard place, the rock and the hard place. So he was just thinking, he was, what shall I do? He was in Dharma Sankat, as they say. And he was thinking on one side, and he prayed to Gopal. He thought, he took shelter of the lotus feet of Gopal in his mind and prayed to Gopal. Oh Gopal, now two things are in danger for me. One is, if I don't give my daughter in marriage, my dharma is in danger. And if I give my daughter to protect my dharma, my family members are in danger. They will die. So please bless me. Please shower your mercy on me in such a way that both will be protected. My dharma will be protected and my family members will also be protected. So the next day, when the Brahmana was deeply thinking about this issue, the young Brahmana came to the house. And he said, my dear sir, a lot of time has elapsed since we returned to Vidyanagar. And you have not brought up the topic of the marriage of your daughter to me. What is the matter? Again, the younger Brahmana, it's not that he was eager to marry, but he was more eager to see that the dharma of the older Brahmana is not broken. You have promised to give your daughter in charity to me, and now you do not say anything. What is the matter? So, the older Brahmana was very embarrassed. But he just simply kept silent. At that time, the older Brahmana's eldest son was there. He charged into the room with a stick in the hand, moving in a very threatening manner towards the young Brahmin. And out of fear for his life and limb, the young Brahmana fled from the house and he ran away. And the son of the older Brahmana chased him for a while and then came back. Meanwhile, the younger Brahmana, the next day, gathered the leading people of the village, the panchayat members and the other elders, and he recounted his predicament and said, see, this is what has happened. This older Brahmana, I took him to Vrindavan, I took care of him. He promised me that he wants to give his daughter in marriage to me. I protested many times that this was an inappropriate and incompatible match, that it was not feasible and that his family members would object, but every time he kept on insisting that no, I will give my daughter in marriage to you because I am the father of the girl and I will make the decision. So, having explained all this, the other people were very sympathetic to him and they called the elderly Brahman. And they said, so my dear Brahman, what do you have to say to this? This young Brahman is saying that you promised to marry your daughter to him. So the elder Brahman obeyed his son's instruction. He said, actually, I don't remember having made such a promise. So when the older son of this elder Brahmana, then he was also present there. So he took the opportunity. He became very impudent and he stood up in the assembly and he said, while touring many holy places of pilgrimage, my father was carrying much money with him. And this Brahmana is a poor man. So this rogue then took advantage of this opportunity to take away the money. He fed my father with some kind of poisonous intoxicant, because of which my father was not in control of his mind. And then he stole his money. And after that, now he comes back and claims that my father promised that he will give his daughter in marriage to him. Now all of you assembled are very wise people. Can you tell me whether this kind of match is a suitable match? So he was a very convincing talker. So now the villagers who had assembled, they started developing some doubt about the young Brahmana's statements. They said, "So, my dear Brahmana, what do you have to say?" So the young Brahmana said, "My dear gentleman, please see, this young man is simply making arguments for the sake of winning the argument. Actually, whatever he's saying is false. Being very satisfied with my service, which I gave to him very selflessly, this Brahmana on his own promised to give his daughter to me, and he kept on insisting, even though I forbade him again and again. And then finally I took him in front of the deity of Gopal, and he made the promise in front of Gopal. And then I told him that you are a learned Brahmana, your wife and children will oppose, but he kept insisting that he will do it. So, at that time I concentrated my mind and requested him to come in front of the Gopal deity. And in front of the Gopal deity, the older Brahmana repeated his promise. Accepting the Gopal deity as my witness, I then submitted the following at the lotus feet of Gopal. If this Brahmana later hesitates to give me his daughter, my dear Lord, I shall call on you as a witness. Please note this with care and attention." The young Brahmana was telling the Lord like that. "My dear Gopal, please hear me very carefully. Please be attentive as I am speaking. When the time comes, if I need you, you will have to come and give witness. Thus, I have called upon a great personality in this transaction. I have asked the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be my witness." And the Brahmana was overjoyed to hear this, the older Brahmana, because he thought this will solve everything. He said, "Very good, very good." Now, the eldest son of the older Brahmana also said, "Very good, very good." Now, both agreed to the proposal of the young Brahmin to bring Gopal here to Vidyanagar from Vrindavan and give witness. But the interesting thing is that both agreed for completely contradictory reasons. The reason that the older Brahmana agreed to the young Brahmana's proposal is that he had complete faith that Krishna is non-different from his deity, that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, he is very affectionate to his devotees, and that he will indeed come to protect the prestige and the dharma of his devotees. So he will come here and give witness, and when the Lord gives witness, then my family members will not be able to say anything. Then I will be in a position to give my daughter in marriage to the Brahmana, and thus my dharma will be upheld. But his son was thinking in a completely opposite way. His son was thinking, "There is no God. What to speak of this Pratima, this statue of God? Statue is not God. Statue is just some lump of metal or stone. And anyway, how can the deity, how can the statue walk from there to here? Whoever has heard of such a thing? So anyway, this is a good way. Now victory is assured for us in this whole matter. Naturally, when this deity will not come here and give witness, then this Brahmana, young Brahmana, will be proved false in his statements." So he also was very happy. So both of them agreed to the proposal. And in this way, the young Brahmana, now once bitten, twice shy. So he said, "Both of you have agreed?" Both father and son said, "Yes, yes," in front of everybody. But the young Brahmana, being worldly wise, said, "Please put it in writing now, so that tomorrow you don't change your mind and say that, 'Oh, I never promised that. I never said this.'" So then a paper was brought, signed. All the people, distinguished people of the village, came. They also signed, witness, and so on. So then the young Brahmana preserved this document. And then he said, young Brahmana started speaking. He said, "I want all of you assembled villagers to know that this elderly Brahmana is actually a very devoted and pious Brahmana. He is certainly truthful in following religious principles. He had no desire to break his promise, to break the principle of dharma. But what to do? He was bound by affection for his family members. his family members threatened that they would give up their lives. So out of fear, the Brahmana had to say this. But by the piety of this elder Brahmana, I shall call the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gopal, here. And I shall keep this elder Brahmana's truthful promise intact. So hearing the emphatic statement of the younger Brahmana, some of the atheistic members of that audience, they began to mock the young Brahmana. But there were others who were faithful devotees. He said, anything is possible for the Lord. If the Lord wishes to come here from Vrindavan, he may come. So in this way, the younger Brahman departed from Vidyanagar and he arrived in Vrindavan. And then he approached the deity of Gopal. He narrated the whole episode in detail to the deity. He spoke it all out. You see, this means that this Brahmana had such strong faith in the deity that he could come and actually speak with the deity. Do we have the faith? When we come in front of the deity, can we actually speak with him? Will we speak? We'll say, oh, actually he's a deity. No, he's not a person. He's not standing in front of me. We may get that little doubt. But the Brahmana was speaking. Actually, it is a good habit in all temples. If the authorities of the temple who are in charge of maintaining the affairs of the temple should go in front of the deities every month or periodically and give information about the activities of the temple. They should have a report card made. My dear Lord, we had so many such and such programs here. We did this for your pleasure. Just like we have the book distribution score every morning, even the regular programs and activities should be informed to the Lord. And this is what we are planning for next month. You should actually go and speak in front of the Lord. And you should submit your monthly accounts of the temple to the Lord. It's his money. Madhusudan Prabhu will do that. Submit the accounts and correctly audited accounts, properly. Correct accounts. And we should go to the Lord and say, my dear Lord, we received so much money for your service, of which we spent this, this and this. And every month this can be done. So it is very, very devotionally enriching. You get a personal feeling of a relationship with the Lord. And actually every householder should also do this to the deities in your house. You should go to the house and declare whatever devotional service you've been trying to do, whatever is going on in your family. Don't burden him too much with your quarrels, but but you can go and tell him what is happening and so on. And you can also give your monthly accounts to him, to the deity in the house. And let him also see where your money is being spent. So then the young Brahmana came in front of Gopal and said, my dear Lord, you are the protector of Brahminical culture. And you are also very merciful. Kindly show your great mercy by protecting the religious principles of us two Brahmanas. I am not thinking of becoming happy by getting the daughter as a bride. I am simply thinking that the Brahmana has broken his promise. And that is giving me great pain. So we can understand, therefore, that this young Brahmana was actually a pure Vaishnava. He had no desire for sense gratification at all. He was doing this simply to protect the dharma of the older Brahmana. Then he said, my dear sir, addressing Gopal, you are very merciful and know everything. Kindly be a witness in this case. And then he makes a statement which may sound very astonishing to us. He's speaking this to Gopal. And he says, a person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities. Actually, in the law of the state also, it is a crime. Do you know that? If you see a crime happening and you don't report it, any lawyers here? Any lawyers? No. Lawyer. Is it a fact? If I see a crime happening and I don't report it to the authorities, then I am also liable to be punished, isn't it? So I'm a witness, and then I refuse to bear witness when the case comes up for hearing. Then I don't go, I say, then that is a crime. Even in the laws of dharma, the laws of manu, it's like that. If you have witnessed a particular thing, and then when the time comes for you to give witness, you withdraw and you don't give witness, that is a sinful activity. Now, can the Lord be touched by sin? No. The Lord cannot be touched by sin or even by piety. He is not touched by anything material, good or bad. He is always situated in the transcendental position. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport that there is no possibility of the Lord's being involved in sinful activity. A pure devotee, even though he knows everything of the Supreme Lord, can speak with the Lord exactly as if he were a common man. Although the dealings between the Lord and his devotee are always very simple and open, there is formality. All these things happen because of the connection between the Lord and his devotee. So there is a kind of a familiarity, at the same time a formality. There is such love between the devotee and the Lord that the devotee sometimes thinks of the Lord as another person. He is aware of the godhood of Krishna, but then he is also thinking he is one amongst us. They talk to him like he is their friend and so on. Actually, that is how we worship the deity, isn't it? When we offer bhoga, during every offering of food to the deity, we offer enough for one person to eat. We don't think that he is the Supreme Lord, therefore we will offer the whole big pot in the kitchen that has been cooked. We offer enough for one person because we treat the Lord as one person, like one of us. How much we would eat in a plate, we offer that much to the Lord. So then it was almost like a threat to the Lord that if you don't bear witness, you will be involved in sinful activity. So what is he trying to say? My dear Lord, now the time has come. I had already told you earlier that if required, you should come to bear witness. Now the time has come, and you had better come with me. This is the purport of the young Brahmana's statement to the Lord. So Krishna replied, my dear Brahmana, go back to your home, call a meeting of everybody. In that meeting, just try to remember me. I will appear there certainly, and I shall protect the honor of both of you, and I will bear witness to the promise. In other words, what was Krishna saying? What was the deity of Gopal saying? Saying, I won't come back with you as a deity, but I am ever present. I am present in every atom. And you go back there, think of me, and I will manifest my presence there. But the young Brahmana was a hard cookie. He wasn't going to be convinced so easily. He said, my dear Lord, even if you come in your Chaturbhuj form over there and stand in front of all the villagers, they are not going to believe you. They will believe you only if you come as you are, as a Gopal deity. Because that is what I have promised to them. Otherwise, they will find some other reason or some excuse to slip out of that promise. So you have to come as you are now. So, then the Lord is in a corner now. What to do? So then he tries one argument. He said, look, it is unheard of in the annals of history that a deity walks. Have you heard like this? You see, in the dealings between the devotee and the Lord, the devotee is more intelligent. So even though Krishna makes some nice argument, you know, to use modern terminology, he gives some nice little thing, but the devotee has some higher argument, some better argument there. So he said, yes, you are correct, that no one has heard of a deity walking, but then if you can talk, you can also walk. Now the Lord is stumped. He doesn't know what to say now. So now he has to come. So he says, all right. And then the young Brahmana makes a very famous statement. Pratima nahitumi vrajendranand sakshat vrajendranandana vipralagi karatumi akarya karana. My dear Lord, Pratima nahitumi, you are not a Pratima, you are not a statue. Who are you? You are Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana, Krishna. And just for the sake, Vipralagi Karatumi, just for the sake of that older Brahmana, you do one thing, Akarya Karana, please do something that you have never done before. Meaning, as a deity, please walk. Although in history you have never done this, but now you please do that for the sake of that older Brahmana. So the Lord smiles. The Lord likes to be defeated by his devotees. So he smiles and says, my dear Brahmana, just listen to me. I agree to your proposal. I will walk behind you. And in this way, I shall go with you. So Prabhupada gives a very lengthy purport here about the Archa Murti, or the form of the deity, which is non-different from Krishna. And this is a logic, because many times as devotees you will be confronted by skeptics and non-believers or iconoclasts who will say, a deity is just a statue, it's just an idol. Why do you worship an idol? So what kind of arguments can you give them in return? As devotees we should be well versed in the philosophical arguments so that we can explain things to them nicely. Mostly people are innocent, even if they are ignorant. And if they hear some nice shastric and logical arguments you put forward, then they will be convinced. There are many arguments, and this is a topic in itself. But one of the arguments that we can make, which Prabhupada mentions here, is number one, that all the material elements, be it stone, be it wood, be it metal, are all material elements that are the energy of Lord Krishna. Number one. Number two, there is no difference between the energetic and his energy. There is a simultaneous oneness as well as a difference. Therefore, Krishna can manifest himself in any one of the material elements which are in any case his energy and from which he is non-different. So therefore it is wrong, and it is an offense to say that this is not a deity, this is stone, this is marble, this is wood. No. Once the Lord has decided to manifest himself in certain material elements in a particular form of the deity, then he doesn't remain merely stone or wood or whatever. He actually becomes non-different from the Supreme Lord. That deity is the same as Krishna. He has the same power as Krishna. He can do everything that Krishna can do. This is what it means to be the deity. Just as the sun can manifest its presence through the sunlight and the heat, similarly the Lord can manifest his presence through the material elements in the forms of the deities. Therefore, the Jagannath deity is called Daru Brahma. Brahma, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Absolute Truth, made of wood. So Prabhupada also explains in the purport that Krishna was talking to the young Brahmana just to test his knowledge about the Archa Vigraha, about the Sri Murti. And he says, those who have understood the science of Krishna can also talk to the deity. If you understand the science of Krishna, that means you actually have faith that this is not a statue. He is Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana. The deity who is present in front of me is not just a representation of Krishna, it is directly Krishna himself. That calls for a lot of understanding of the science of Krishna consciousness, and that understanding also means staunch faith, not just an intellectual or bookish understanding of the philosophy. And then Prabhupada makes a very startling statement, which is important for us as devotees to understand. He says, in the higher sense, since all material elements ultimately emanate from the supreme spiritual entity, nothing is really material. Who will repeat this one sentence? It's a very important point. Anyone? Yes. Something more. Shall I read it again? Since all material elements ultimately emanate from the supreme spiritual entity, nothing is really material. Everything is spiritual. But what is the problem? The problem is we don't understand that everything is emanating from the original spiritual entity. Because we don't have that understanding, that vision, that faith. Therefore, we see the distinction. We see this material nature as being independent from the Lord, and therefore this becomes material for us. Therefore, it will give us suffering. Therefore, it will become dukkha layam ashashvatam for us. But for a person who has the vision and the faith, for him, matter and spirit is the same. Krishna is saying dukkha layam ashashvatam, and Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is saying vishvam purna sukhayate. This whole world is full of happiness. So ultimately, because everything emanates from Krishna, everything is spiritual. What makes the distinction between spiritual and material is our vision, our understanding. Then the Lord continued and said, do not try to see me by turning around. As soon as you turn around to see me, I will become stationary at that place, and then I will not move from that place. You will know that I am walking behind you by the sound of my ankle bells. And then he put one more condition. First condition was, you should not look behind to see whether I am following you. And you will know that I am coming by the sound of the ankle bells. And the second condition, cook 1 kilo of rice daily and offer. I shall eat the rice and then follow you. Two conditions. Because Lord also gets hungry after all. So the next day, the Brahmana begged permission from Gopal and started for Vidyanagar. And he walked and walked and walked, and Gopal was following him. Every single day, the Brahmana followed the instructions of the Lord. He did not look back. It is only when he stopped for the day that he would cook the rice, offer it to the Lord, and next morning again they would begin. In this way, they reached the outskirts of Vidyanagar. Now the Brahmana requested the Lord, or rather because he stopped and then he looked behind, now that he had arrived at the outskirts of the village, and the Lord stopped. He said, now I shall remain here. So you go in and call all the people from the village. So the Brahmana was very excited. He knew that now the Lord would not move from here. So he rushed into the village and informed everyone. And the people in the village were struck with wonder. And they went to see Gopal. They saw the Lord actually standing there. They offered their obeisances most respectfully unto him. And they were really surprised to see that the Lord had actually kept his promise to act as a witness. The elderly Brahmana also came forward. He was overjoyed. He fell flat in front of the deity like a stick, dandavat. And thus, in presence of everyone in that village or the town, Lord Gopal gave witness that the elderly Brahmana had indeed offered his daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmana. Then the marriage ceremony was performed. Now, of course, now the eldest son could not do anything. It was in writing and in front of all the town people, the village people. After everything was over, the young Brahmana and the old Brahmana were standing in front of Gopal one time. Then the Gopal deity said, you two Brahmanas are my eternal servants, birth after birth. In other words, he was saying that you are not ordinary persons. You are not even ordinary devotees. Actually, you are my Nitya Siddha associates. And this is what Prabhupada clarifies in the purport. Nitya Siddhas are those who generally live in the spiritual world and they don't come here. But when they do come, they come for fulfilling some mission of the Lord. And they may keep on taking birth in the Lord's different pastimes. To make the Lord's and the devotees' pastimes more and more relishable. So, Srila Prabhupada explains at length that this incident appears to be an ordinary story about a marriage. But it is not an ordinary story. It's about two brahmanas who are eternal servants of Krishna. Therefore, there can be nothing material or ordinary about this transaction. The Lord continued, I have become very much pleased by the truthfulness of you both. Now you can ask me for a benediction. Then with great pleasure, the two brahmanas asked for a benediction. What benediction did they ask for? Yes, you please remain here. Don't go back to Vrindavan. Make this place as Vrindavan. So that people will know, people from all over the world will know how merciful you are to your servants, to your devotees. So Lord Gopal stayed there. He granted that benediction. And the two brahmanas served Gopal to their heart's content. And people from different countries, from different lands, came from far and wide to have darshan of Lord Gopal. And they were struck with wonder to see the beautiful form of Gopal and to hear this extraordinary story of how Lord Gopal became a witness. The king of the region also heard. He also came. He had darshan. And then he constructed a grand temple for Lord Gopal over there on the outskirts of Vidyanagar. So for a long time, Lord Gopal stayed in Vidyanagar and received the service of the devotees there. One time, however, the king of Orissa, whose name was Purushottam Dev, and who himself was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, he attacked this king's kingdom. And then he was victorious. And he got possession of the throne of the king there, which is called the Manikya Simhasana, which was bedecked with many jewels. And since King Purushottam Deva was a very advanced devotee, he came in front of Gopal and he begged him, please come to my kingdom. And the Lord, being pleased with his service in Jagannath Puri, he agreed. Now actually there is a little story here. So then what happened is, King Purushottam Dev transferred the deity to Orissa. He took him back. He offered the Manikya throne to Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was very happy to receive that. And then he took the deity to a place, to Cuttack, and established a temple there. But Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the earlier purports that there was an interesting incident that happened before that. That originally Purushottam Dev took the deity of Gopal to the temple of Jagannath. But then there was some issue between the two lords. Between Jagannath and between Gopal. So Prabhupada calls it a prem kalaha, a quarrel of love between the two. And then Jagannath said, no, either he is here or I am here. I am not going to stay here. So in order to resolve the quarrel, then King Purushottam Dev had to intervene. He became like a mediator. And then he took the deity of Gopal and went to Cuttack. And then he installed it in Cuttack. Then after some time, the deity moved from Cuttack to a place outside of Cuttack. Then one day, the queen of King Purushottam Dev, she came to have darshan of Lord Gopal. And suddenly in her mind, she developed the desire to offer a very precious pearl that she used as an ornament on her nostril. She said, oh, I wish I could have offered this precious nose pearl that I have to Gopal. But then, oh, he doesn't have a hole in his nostril in which we can fix that pearl. Then that night Gopal appeared in a dream and told the queen, actually when I was a small boy, my mother had pierced my nostril and she used to place a pearl there. So you can come and offer me that pearl. So the queen explained her dream to King Purushottam Dev. He was also struck with wonder. So both the king and the queen went there. And they actually checked and they found that indeed Lord Gopal's deity did have a little hole in the nostril there. And then they had a great festival in which this pearl was offered as a nose ornament for Gopal. So Gopal's service went on there in Katak very nicely. And since then he has been known as Sakshi Gopal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the narration of Gopal's activities and he and the devotees both were very pleased. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting before the Gopal deity, all the devotees saw him and the deity as being of the same form. They were of the same complexion. Both had gigantic bodies. Both wore saffron cloth and both were very grave. The devotees saw that both Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopal were brilliantly effulgent and had eyes like lotuses. They were both absorbed in ecstasy and both their faces resembled full moons. Nityananda Prabhu also noticed this and in great joy he began to make comments to the devotees and all of them also were very, very happy. Thus, Mahaprabhu along with his devotees passed the night in that temple and the next morning he moved on in his journey towards Puri. Shri Sakshi Gopal ki jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. So I'm a few minutes over time, so we'll not have questions. So now I think there is prasadam for everyone. Yes, there is? Yes, okay. So you all relish the story of Sakshi Gopal? You got so many finer points.